Well, good evening. It is good to see you here tonight, and I trust you've had a good afternoon of relaxing and back in the house of God to worship Him. I'm going to be in the same passage this evening. As we were this morning, Isaiah 9:6, if you want to turn there, but it's the same passage we were in this morning, looking at the next name given to Christ in this verse. Before we read it, though, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you that you healed our stripes. We do thank you that you healed our sins, that you took the stripes and took away our iniquities, took away our sins. And God, the Bible tells us that you took those sins and nailed them to the cross, that they were removed from us forever because of your sacrifice. And you truly are the healer. As we said this morning, you're the wonderful counselor, and tonight you're the almighty God. You are the healer, the great physician. And we thank you for taking away our pain, our sin, our disgust, and that we can be a part of your family and be forgiven and have life abundant and eternal. Speak to us now as we hear this message. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, and Lord, just give me the words to speak, that whatever is said will be pleasing and honoring to you. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And you may remain seated tonight. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. May God bless the reading of the word tonight. Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, it's always been interesting to me, and I know many times when I preach, I have a lot to say about words. You know, some people think that preaching should be topics and concepts and things like that, but I guess I was taught in school and seminary and college that there's so much in words that can be learned about things that can teach us of God. And I guess that's why I dwell on them so much, because that's the way I was taught to preach. And when I think about that, and I think about the words in this verse, and in particular the titles given to Christ, there are few, if any, great authors and poets of present or past, or future for that matter, that could ever write and describe Christ better than he is described by the prophet Isaiah here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Shakespeare and Emily Dickinson and Edgar Allan Poe, if you want to put him in there, is kind of a little weird, but a great writer. And any writers of the day that think they're anything, there's none of them that could have ever described Christ as great as he is described in this verse. The Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Bible is so beautiful in the way it says things and the way it portrays God, in ways that we can understand in some way who he is. And there's no way even from these great titles that we'll ever be able to grasp who God really is. They help. They get us close. But as great as these words describe him, as great as the Bible describes who God is and who Christ is and the way he works and the way he saves and his plans of redemption and everything about God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, Trinity, everything we learn about God in the Bible, as great as it is and as informative as it is, it can never touch completely who God really is. And never can we truly know him until that time we enter into glory to be with him forever in heaven. But we are thankful for what it does show us. And that very fact that our minds can never comprehend who God truly is, other than the best words we can come up with in some way, even though we can never truly know everything about God and how great He really is, that very fact alone is the backbone, the cornerstone of the title that we'll talk about tonight. The Almighty God. That title alone describes just what I've said. He is Almighty. He is great and powerful, greater than we could ever imagine, greater than we can ever know. That is the Almighty God. What does it mean to be Almighty? Now, it's used many different ways, I guess, in our language, but normally when we use it, it does have the idea, the implication of strength that is carried along with the idea of Almighty. That is attributed to someone that is strong and powerful. Now, as I said this morning, the word wonderful can be used for many different people, public figures and family members, people that are close to us. But I think the word Almighty is, other than sarcastically telling our husbands or wives, in particular husbands, that they think they're Almighty or whatever, high and mighty or whatever, aside from the occasional joke that we don't really mean, the word Almighty really is left to describe a powerful person. A person that is in public prominence but is high power. I mean, the highest of high. I'm sure there were many that would have considered Saddam Hussein Almighty. Now, that's not what I consider him considered. Make sure I put the ED on there. Considered him Almighty. I never did. But I'm sure there were many Iraqis that did because they didn't want to die and they wanted food. So they probably had to attribute that to him in some way. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gotten the things they needed to live. And there are, in our world today, kings and leaders that are not, you know, maybe not in the more civilized world that we have, civilized nations, but in some of the other nations that are more what we would think of as third world, they probably do have someone they think is an almighty person. I mean, that probably exists. I'm sure that exists in our world today. Definitely did in the past, didn't it? Look at the Egyptian culture. The pharaohs of the Egyptian culture, I'm talking about the BCs now, thousands of years ago, those pharaohs were considered gods. I don't know if you were aware of that. I'm sure many of you were. You're pretty well informed. But the pharaohs of that time, of the Egyptian, Old Testament times, those pharaohs were considered gods. They were almighty. They were considered great. They were expected to be considered great, godlike, almighty. So it is a word that denotes strength, or connotes strength, implies strength, and is designated for one who is seen as greater than all. Now, I do not think that any pharaoh of the past was really almighty, but that's what they thought. My point is, it's reserved for the greatest of the greats. We throw wonderful around. We don't throw almighty around. Not in the sense it was really used. Like I said, we may say it sarcastically to our husbands, but not we, but you ladies may say it. I don't say it to my husband, but you ladies may say it sarcastically to your husbands or even your kids or something, but never to really mean what you say by almighty. You never would say, that's an almighty preacher. You wouldn't say that. No one would think that of me or any other pastor. It's reserved for the greatest of the great. Someone that is seen that can stand in the midst of anyone. Someone that just overpowers and just exceeds, and there's something about the person physically and emotionally and the charisma that they have. They just stand out amongst other people. It's someone whose being and existence requires respectful fear. That you fear that person not, well, maybe in some ways in a fearful, scary way, but also in the respectful way. That the strength that they have, the honoring fear that you give them, it demands obedience. Again, like a general. Or you think of maybe even King Saul in the Old Testament. He would have been one that many would have considered that kind of person. That he stood head and shoulders above everyone. He was taller than everyone. He was stronger than everyone. And he had that stateliness about him that you would have said he's powerful. Could almost attributed Almighty to him. It's someone who is entrusted with many difficult tasks and is successful with it. A proud warrior, a leader of warriors, a great man. If you ever saw the movie 300 that came out about a year ago about the 300 Spartans that held off the Persian Empire, the Leonidas, King Leonidas, he would, which is a true, he really existed. That was a true story. Maybe not the way it was portrayed in the movie, but there was a Leonidas. There was a 300, a legion of 300 men that stood against the Persians. Now, they actually, well, anyway, we don't need to get into the history of it. But anyway, that man, that king, would have been seen as that kind of person, someone the men would have followed, respected. They would have known that he was going to leave them in a victory. That kind of power. That is what we think of as Almighty. And then we think of, when we know, understand what Almighty means, we think about the ways of the Almighty. What is it that the Almighty people do? Someone Almighty, what do they do? The ways of the Almighty are true and sure. They're directed. Someone who is Almighty is decisive. They do not stop to ponder or wonder or, you know, they wishy-washy. That's why I'll never be an Almighty person, because I can never make a decision. Somebody says we need to do this, I think, yeah, we need to do that. Somebody else says we need to do it the other way, I think, yeah, I mean, I'm an appeaser. I'll never be a leader because I'm an appeaser. I don't want people mad at me, so I just say, okay, do whatever you want to do, and then that's when problems start. But that's why I'm never going to do that. See, an Almighty leading person, a great person like that, is decisive. I think we need to do it this way. No, we're going to do it this way. That's a leader. That's Almighty. Someone that has direction, knows where they're going, plans it out, plots it out, decisive in their motives, and ready to move and solid in their resolve. That we're going to do it, we're going to do it right, and we're not going to stop until it's completed. That's the idea that I get of someone who is Almighty. And when I think about this and you attribute that title to Jesus, that He is the Almighty God, He is Almighty, and you think about what I've said, the idea of true and sure and decisive and steadfast and solid and resolve and powerful, stately, respectful and honoring fear given to Him. That is who Jesus was, wasn't it? You get the impression of Christ when He was on this earth, and obviously still as He is alive today in heaven at the right hand throne of God. But when He was in the flesh on earth, dwelling among us in the time of the first century, when you think about that, think about who He was then, and you read about the Gospels and read about His life, His miracles, His works, you get that impression of Christ, that He was someone that people followed, that they could tell about Him that He was different. In fact, I've preached recently about, we were in John 1 the last few weeks. Remember Nathanael and Philip and Andrew, John the Baptist said, "This is the Lamb of God," and Christ went and found Philip, and Nathanael found Christ as well. And you remember those three men, Philip, Nathanael, and Andrew, remember they said, "This is the Messiah." They spent an hour with Him or a day with Him or whatever it was, and they realized, "This is the Messiah." Because there was something about Christ that you just knew you could follow Him, knew that He could lead you, knew that He was strong, knew that He was decisive, knew He was going to succeed. That's what those men realized about Christ. And I don't think it was just the 12 disciples that understood it. I think there were others that knew it and followed Him. And then there were probably even thousands more that were so curious about how great He was that they wanted to listen to everything He said on the mountain. Now, I'm not saying there were thousands that followed Him. I'm saying that there were thousands on the Sermon on the Mount and everything, the feeding of the 5,000. I mean, that's where they were. They were being taught. That He just had that kind of charisma about Him, that you wanted to follow Jesus. And when you think about Christ, He is Almighty. He has a plan. His plan was set. His plan was to save mankind. It was fulfilled. He was successful. And He stood fast until the end on that plan. Beaten to a pulp with whips, having His beard plucked out, spat upon, and punched in the face, ridiculed, hated. All of those things that you and I would have given up, you know, after the first slap. He endured it all because His plan was to save mankind, and He was going to the end, no matter what it took. Physical, mental, spiritual, whatever pain it took, or whatever it was, He was going to endure it. That's Almighty. And that's why there's never been a person like Christ in the past, present, or in the future. There never was, is, or will be someone like Christ again. Only one of Him. He is Almighty. And so tonight I wondered, do you worship the Almighty God? Do you worship Christ the Almighty? Is he a center of your focus, a center of your life? Do you attribute that power to Him, that respectful, honoring fear of Him, knowing that He is true and steadfast and will never change, and is resolute, and he will be successful, and you will follow Him to that victory? Is He the Almighty God in your life? But then a few final thoughts on Christ as the Almighty God. He is the Almighty God, and that implies, if it implies nothing else, it needs to imply that last word, He is God. Now, I've talked about that at length in the past few weeks, in John chapter 1, a month or so ago, in verse 1, that He is God. And to call Him Almighty God, it does give that idea, the implication of deity, obviously. That He's not just a man, He was man, but He was God too. Man and God, the God-man. And it shows how great He is, it shows the nature that He has, it shows His strength, His capability to be God. That He was just not anybody, He was the Almighty God. And He was powerful. His works, as I said, remember, the works of the Almighty are strong and decisive, and His works were powerful, weren't they? Healing people, creating, performing miracles, sacrificing Himself. The compassion that He had, the salvation of man. He is Almighty. He was mightier than the mightiest and stronger than the strongest. King of kings, the Bible says. King of kings, Lord of lords, and the one that we are to worship, the one that we are to bow before in our lives. He is the Almighty God. You know, in this life that we live, we really do have a choice to make, don't we? Now, I do believe that in some way it's the drawing of the Holy Spirit for us into salvation. But when we become a Christian, we believe in Him, then we have to make that decision, am I going to live my life for Him? And when you come to Christ, you believe in Him, you say He's the Lord of my life, and I give my life to Him, and you go into the waters of baptism, and you symbolize the dying to yourself and resurrecting into Christ, that at that point you've made that decision that He is the Almighty God and He is my God. And I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to live my life for Him. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to do anything that would hurt Him or break His heart or drive those nails deeper into His wrists and His feet. I am not going to be a backsliding Christian. I am going to be a faithful Christian. Because I worship the Almighty God. And there's no other force in this world or universe or other dimension. And there's no force or person or strength or thing or object or anything that will ever exceed the power of Christ. He supersedes all other things. He is greater than all other things. He is the Almighty God. Is He the Almighty God in your life? Is He the greatest thing in your life? Is He the center of your life? Is He the strength of your life? Remember I said about Christ, the Almighty God, that He is God. He is strong. He is capable. He is resolute. He is to be feared with an honoring and respectful fear. He is greater than all, compassionate, merciful, gracious, sacrificing of Himself, giving of salvation to us. That is the God that we serve. He is Almighty. There is no greater person or place or thing or entity in any way greater than Christ. And if in your life there is anything else that you would put before Christ, whether it be yourself or another person or another God or an object or whatever, that is sin because our Almighty God is greater than all. Why worship the lesser things of life? Why worship the weak things of life when you can have the strongest, most powerful Almighty God ever? Who is God in your life? Who is God? Is He an afterthought? Is He a second place? Is he the back burner? Is he the pawn on the back burner with the tea? You know, that's where my mom always put the tea, and you forgot about it sometimes, or at least I did. Is he the one back there that you don't think about? Is he the lone sock in the drawer that doesn't have a match, and he's just kind of there? Not really important, never use him, never wear him, never have anything to do with it. Where is he in your life? Is he in the back? Is he an afterthought? Is he forgotten? Is he just there? Or is he the center? Is he sitting on the throne of your heart? Is he in the place of prominence in your life? That others can see him, but that you live it. That you live it in your life, that you know it's real. Who is God in your life? Is he the Almighty God, or is he just another person? You have to answer that question tonight. Is he just there, or is he Almighty? Is he the greatest? Is he the most important thing to me? Our hymn invitation tonight is number 165 out of the Volume 12 book, the New Songs of Inspiration, Volume 12. And you need to answer that question tonight. Is he the Almighty God, or is he just somebody else, another person in my life? What answer do you have tonight for God? Father, I hope that answer for me is that you are Almighty God. But God, I understand that I am a sinner. And I know that I fall short. And I know that there are times in my life that you are not the Almighty God. You are Almighty God, but I do not make you that in my life. And I ask your forgiveness. I ask that you would take away that unbelievably heinous sin of putting anything above you. Christ, Jesus, I pray that you would be Almighty in my life. That your love and your compassion and your power and your strength and your resolve would so resonate in me that I would have one option, and that is to fall on my face and worship you. Because you are great. You are Almighty. God, I pray for the people here tonight that they would have that same decision in their life. That they would want you to be the greatest thing in their life, the number one thing in their life. Be the Almighty God that you are to them. God, may we seek you tonight for that. May you forgive us where we have been unfaithful in that area. And we just love you. We praise you. We thank you again for all you do for us. And we just pray that you would fill us now with the Holy Spirit as we go through this time of invitation. In Jesus' name.